You know, this is our last week in Acts for the year, and then we're going to be going into a Christmas-themed services as we look at Jesus Christ and the magnitude of what the birth of Christ is for us. Let me ask you something this morning. What is an opportunity? Webster defines it as a set of circumstances that makes it possible to do something. Opportunity. With that in mind, perhaps you have heard of those who have wasted an opportunity, or those who have taken advantage of opportunities, and I know most likely, without doubt, we've all experienced one of the two throughout our life. We've either wasted opportunities or taken advantage of them. I wonder, though, how many spiritual opportunities we miss. Have you ever thought about that? Is that something that you even think about? How many spiritual opportunities am I missing in my life? Are there more opportunities spiritually wasted than taken advantage of? It's a good question for us to ponder and ask the Lord to show us. So this morning, we're going to look at four men. Three men who wasted their opportunity and one who made the most of it. The next three chapters we're going to be in Acts, chapter 24 through 26, we're going to cover today. It covers Paul's trials and his defense before three Roman magistrates. So in chapter 24, you see Paul goes before Felix. In chapter 25, Paul goes before Festus. And in chapter 26, Paul goes before King Agrippa. These three men will do a terrible thing. We're going to see what that is. But Paul's going to do a wonderful thing, and we're going to look at the opportunities this group had. So as the church on the move, we've got to mash on the gas, everybody. It's time to mash the gas in the world today for the church. You know, the church has so many opportunities today that how do you see yourself? God can do anything. Are our expectations high of Him? I want to be a church on the move. We've been in Acts for all of 2021. We're 42 messages in with two to go. Mashing on the gas. I want to challenge us this morning to be like the Apostle Paul, who took advantage of the opportunity he had. After Christmas, we will close out this series as we look at Paul's sea voyage to Rome. Those of us who went to Malta, you know what happened on that sea voyage. And we're going to see how God took Paul through the trials of storms. And we're going to see how God can take us through the storms of life. And then our last message will be at the beginning of 22, where it will be a message on the gleanings of the whole series. How many of you remember all the points of the whole series? Well, we're going to go through them point by point by point. No, I'm kidding. We are going to look through overview of the book of Acts and see what gleanings it has going forward into the new year of 2022. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Lord, I just thank you today for the time we had together in Sunday school to hear the rich doctrine of your salvation and what you've done on our behalf. I thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, it's your word we want to follow. It's your word we want to obey. Lord, it's your way to communicate with us. I pray, Lord, today that we will hear your word, that we will see there's not much difference today than in the early church. You have the same desire for the church to be on the move following you. Lord, we're in the season of celebrating your birth. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. And we pray that you will be glorified and pleased today. In your name we pray. Amen. So we could be in chapter 24, 25, 26, and there's a lot in there. And we could go verse by verse, but we're not going to do that. I want to pull one area of these chapters out to show us something of magnitude. First, let's look at Paul before Felix. Don't worry about that small print. There's chapter 24. We saw last week in chapters 21 through 23 that Paul arrived in Jerusalem hoping to go on to Rome. He was met by Christ-hating Jews who wanted to kill him. The word says, tear him to pieces. But the Lord appeared to Paul, remember? And he told him, take courage. And we saw what that meant. No matter what it looked like, he would indeed be going to Rome and be the Lord's witness in Rome. And under the providential protection of Rome itself, Paul was sent with a heavy escort to protect him, to escort him to imprisonment at Caesarea, to stand before trial before the Roman governor Felix. Now we're here, okay? He's now been delivered just like God told him, just like Jesus told him. And Paul took courage, and he's here now, and he's going to stand trial. Look at verses 24 through 25 of Acts 24. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you. Wow. So when Paul finally stood before Felix and Drusilla, he boldly delivered a message from his heart that pierced their hearts. This was a very immoral, sinful living couple. Did Felix turn to faith in Christ Jesus? No, he did not. His response to his opportunity for salvation was this: go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you back. The NIV says, when I find it convenient, come on, I'll call you back when it's convenient for me. When will it be convenient? When will the time be acceptable or convenient or easy to accept Christ as your Savior? Many of you may be tuning in today. I want everyone here to be looking at their salvation. When is it an easy time or convenient to accept Christ? When will it be easier to find time to confess our sins, to forsake unrighteousness, to turn to Jesus Christ and seek the forgiveness that only He can give? The world says never. It's never convenient. It requires change. It requires transformation. It requires humility. It requires knowing who we are. It's a killer of pride, and it's a lifter up of God and all His glory in our life. It's not convenient. The devil will do his best to make sure convenience doesn't come to you when you have an opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. We must realize the most convenient time for a sinner to turn to the payer of those sins, Jesus Christ, to be saved is right now. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the most convenient time for the lost to turn to Christ. No one has a guarantee of tomorrow. How many of you know we may not be here tomorrow? Tomorrow may be too late. Today is the day for salvation. Today is the minute. Today is the hour to be saved. We must realize you may never have another opportunity presented to you again. To their death, Felix and Drusilla were known for their gross immorality. Right to their death. Felix, everybody, did a terrible, terrible thing. He wasted his opportunity to be saved. And he knows that even now. Felix eventually died of tuberculosis, which was common among the Romans. And Drusilla, his wife, along with her son, was buried in the fiery ashes in the city of Pompeii at the eruption of Mount Vesuvius, never to come to Christ. Go away. Come back when it's more convenient. So we see Paul before Felix. Now, let's look at Festus. Paul before Festus, verse 25 through 26. So Festus succeeded Felix as the governor of Judea. And Paul's case then fell to him to deal with. And Festus had determined already that Paul had done, it says in verse 25 in chapter 25, nothing worthy of death. He already concluded that he did not deserve to die. But Paul had done something in chapter 25, 11 through 12. Paul had appealed to Caesar rather than face a biased Jewish court. So to Caesar, Paul must go. He was a Roman citizen. He appealed to Caesar. He's going to go to Caesar. Festus was now at a loss because he saw he wasn't worthy of death. He knew Paul was innocent, but in sending him to Nero, he did not know what to charge him with. What charges do I bring against him as he goes to Nero? So when King Agrippa came to town for a visit, in chapter 25, verse 23 through 27, Festus says, hey, here's an opportunity. Hey, Agrippa, will you listen to Paul? And he was seeking his advice if he could offer any insight to him as to what they might charge him with before they send him to Nero. So he lets Agrippa hear him. But as Paul gave his testimony to King Agrippa, he's in the middle of that testimony. We're going to look at that in a little bit in chapter 26. His longest and most succinct testimony about Jesus Christ and his defense, Festus was listening, and he could no longer stay silent. Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you mad. He just came right out with it. Paul, you're a crazy man. You're out of your mind. You're a lunatic. You're insane. Paul's reply to Festus to the charge that he was insane was a simple verse 25. I utter the words of sober truth. Hey, I'm not insane. I utter the words of sober truth, Festus. You see, the world will ridicule and mock. It will heap its contempt upon you as you share Christ, for it will heap its contempt upon the Lord. But we must hold the line and speak the truth. We have the truth, everybody. Amen? The day will declare it. And what is that day? The day of the Lord. It will declare the truth. Everyone, Festus did a terrible thing. He wasted his opportunity to be saved. 2 years from that day, in all his immorality, he died. Wow. Now we have Felix. There we have Festus. Let's now go to chapter 26. Paul before Agrippa. So as Paul brushed off the charges against him of being insane, of being a fool, he turned to Agrippa and he asked him a question. He said, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do. You see, King Agrippa was half Jew. He knew of the prophets, and he also knew of the promised coming Messiah. His response in verse 28, do you think that in such a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian? Do you think this was a legitimate question of wondering? No. These words are words of disdain and dismissal of Paul. They were words of brushing Paul off. With such few words, Paul, in such a short time, you actually think you can try to persuade me to be a Christian? I mean, Felix just called you mad. He just called you insane. Festus don't know what to do with you. You're crazy, man. You really think in front of all these people right now, in this short time, I'm going to become a Jesus follower? Ha! You wish. But notice, God bless Paul. Remember angel face, lion heart, Stephen? Did Paul respond? Look how he responded. He wasn't offended, nor did he reply with a defensive posture or unloving words. He replied with a true desire of the heart. Here we see the real heart of Paul. Here we see people who want to share Christ with others. You'll see this genuine heart acted out. His reply revealed his heart. Sharing Jesus always comes down, everyone, to the issue of the heart. What a heart-filled reply when Paul gave. He goes, I would wish to God that whether in a short or a long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains I have on. Yes, I do wish. Yes, I do want to convince you in a short time or a long time to be one of me. If I could, I wish I could persuade you to be such as I am, a Christian with the peace of God, the assurance of eternal life, the certainty of the resurrection of glory, the certainty that you can have everything I've been sharing with you. Yes, 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 Agrippa, I would persuade you to be just like me, of course, except for these chains that I'm in. He answered that ridicule with authentic heart of love. Even there, he only wanted them to have Jesus and all that comes with Jesus. Salvation, substitution, redemption, forgiveness, adoption, real transformation, fellowship, eternal life. Who wouldn't want that for someone? But notice, no payback, no chains. I want all that I have for you, just not these chains I'm in. The fact is, right there in that picture, though Paul was in physical chains, it was Paul who was free. Agrippa, though physically free, was in worse chains than he could ever imagine. He was chained to slavery of sin and death. You see, Bernice, the woman living with him, is not his wife. She's his sister and the sister of Drusilla. Agrippa was so immoral. They had an incestuous relationship, and it flourished throughout Rome, knowing of this terrible living arrangement of Agrippa. She's called one of the most shameless women of the Bible. Jewish historians say that her whole life was incestuous along with Agrippa. You see, the history of the Herodian family is a lesson in the shameless depths which depravity and its passions can take us. And here was Paul saying, Jesus can remove all that guilt from you. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Yes, I wish you could be like me. In chapter 26, verse 30, they had all had enough with Paul. He stood up with Bernice and the governor, Festus, and all the others, and they walked away from him. King Agrippa did a terrible, terrible thing. He wasted his opportunity to be saved. Three men who missed this wonderful opportunity. One in fear said, go away, Paul. One in mockery said, you're insane, Paul. And one in disdain said, "You wish, Paul." Does that sound like things we hear from the world and how the world doesn't receive Christ? Hymn 305 in your hymn book, Almost Persuaded. It says, almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ receives. Seems soul, some soul to say, go spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Sound familiar? Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but still lost. Today, the bitter, bitter, bitter wail of Felix, the bitter wail of Festus, the bitter wail of Agrippa will continue throughout all eternity. As we speak right now, they are wailing in hell, knowing they missed their opportunity to be saved. In their blindness and arrogance, they spurned the mercy and the grace of God at the time that they had that offer. Here's what we must always remember. Their opportunity to be saved will never come again. Never. Never come again. They are lost. Truly, those words, what a bitter wail. What a bitter wail. Oh, the poverty of the spiritually blind, the poverty of those walking in darkness. We must never forget the clock is ticking, but they think they are guaranteed tomorrow. I believe wholeheartedly there are people here today who don't know the Lord. There's people maybe tuning in who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we think we have time. We think that we have more opportunities. But only by the grace of God will another opportunity ever come. Do you desperately know in your heart and in your mind that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? There may be people here today who absolutely know they don't know the Lord. People here today who deny Christ publicly, who have turned on Christ, who have said, I once believed, but I don't believe anymore. They're squandering their opportunities only to be like Felix, Festus, and Agrippa. They will wind up one day in God's wrath of the punishment for sin because they said, I don't want you, Jesus. The sadness. The heartbreak of that. Is it any wonder that Paul said, I do wish you to be like me. I do wish for you to have what I have. Please, don't anyone here today also do a terrible, terrible thing and waste your opportunity to be saved. Do you hear that in your heart? Do you hear it? Is there a nudge going on in you right now saying, that's me? That's the Holy Spirit nudging you, saying, here, I'm here. I'll save you. Today, if you have not made that decision to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, I beg you, make it today. You may not have tomorrow. As Paul said, I too say, I speak the sober words of truth to you. But what beautiful words they are, because they're the words that free us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And to us who know the Lord, praise God, today is the day to share the gospel. Phil, you are praying for it this morning in Grace Intercessors to go be sharing the gospel. It is the one thing you can't do in heaven. Remember that book, everybody? The one thing you can't do in heaven? And that's share Jesus again with someone. Now is the time to boldly and unashamedly, like Paul, seek to persuade the lost to become such as we are. If there's any reason for being in Acts for 40 plus weeks, it's to be a church on the move doing the Great Commission. Yes, it's the doctrine. Yes, it's the theology. Yes, it's studying to show ourselves approved so we're not tossed to and fro by unsound teaching. Yes, it's to go out and live our lives worthy of our calling. Yes, it's to understand what the church did and to how to walk through trials, how to trust in the Lord, how to know that God can deliver us. But the fact of the matter, Acts was a church on the move because Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples and then teach them to observe all I've commanded. That's winning disciples, followers to Christ, and then teaching them the Word of God. Is there any greater heart of Christ? Tell me one. Is there any greater? Why did he come? We're celebrating Christmas right now. Why did that babe come in a manger? To seek and to save that which was lost. Three men wasted their opportunity, but Paul took every opportunity he had to share salvation. You may say, well, wait a minute. In this passage, he didn't look like he did too good. It looks to me like he struck out. He struck out. How many of you strike out all the time and sharing Christ? Every time I come up to bat, I try to pull Babe Ruth. Sometimes the Lord lets it happen. If you don't know that, he cranked it right out of the park and got a home run when he did that. As we take advantage of our opportunities to share the gospel, as the church on the move, let's face it, multitudes will not respond to salvation. Jesus tells us that. But guess what? Some will, amen? Some will. So do not be discouraged today. Do not quit today. Do not stop today. Don't quit when you hear go away. Don't stop when you hear you're crazy. Don't stop when you hear you wish or maybe another time. You see, here at EC Grace, there are those of you here who've knocked on thousands of doors, thousands of doors. You've handed out tracts. We're giving out invitation cards. Many of you are engaging your family for Christ, your co-workers, your neighbors, strangers, and friends. Yet thousands upon thousands have turned away. Some almost persuaded, some hostile, some polite, some who call me and say, don't you do that ever again. Some kick us right off the street, right off the driveway, and some get saved. Some of you here today are a direct result of Jesus sending someone to you. But what about those who we have seen come to know Christ? If you've ever had the rich, rich blessing of being used by God to win somebody to Christ, you know what I'm talking about. Jennifer just shared today of a young child who came to know Christ, and she told that child, all of heaven, all the angels in heaven rejoice. What's it mean when all the angels in heaven rejoice over a soul? Do you think we may just not understand the worth of a soul? People through outreach come to know Christ because somebody took the opportunity the Lord gave them. Paul struck out a lot, but let's not look at that. Let's just glance back through Acts at those who are rejoicing right now in glory. Imagine this. Because Paul and others took the opportunity to share the gospel with them, the thousands at Pentecost are in glory, praising God, and the unnamed multitudes that were added to the church are in glory, praising God. Cornelius and his whole household is so thankful. The souls of Samaria that Philip took and the opportunity to preach to are praising God. The Ethiopian eunuch is praising God. You think Lydia was happy that God sent Paul to her and he took advantage of the only opportunity he had because there were no other opportunities? She's in heaven praising God. The Philippian jailer is in heaven praising God with his whole household. The churches and believers in Jerusalem, Sidon, Tyre, Caesarea, Galatia, Derbe, Iconium, Antioch, Colossae, Laodicea, Philadelphia, Sardis, Smyrnum, Pergamum, Ephesus, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Corinth, Troas, Cyprus, and Rome are praising God today because the church took advantage of their opportunities to love them and share their Savior. Do you think they're happy? They're happy. Multitudes so thankful that somebody did not waste that opportunity. How many here today are you thankful that somebody did not waste their opportunity that God gave them in your life? Listen, when we use every opportunity to share the gospel, we are always victorious, whether they respond in faith or not, whether they accept Jesus or reject Jesus. You have to remember, you are being used by the Lord for His glory as His ambassador. Paul said, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." Amen. And manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are the fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? Who is adequate for these things? What a ministry we have as the church on the move. We are in the valley of soul making, peeps. We are in the battle. What an amazing and enormous responsibility to share the gospel where the outcome is heaven or hell. How are you adequate to take on such a role? Heaven or hell issues, death to death or life to life. Paul does ask the right question. Who is adequate for these things? Certainly not we in ourselves. I mean, that's one of the problems that we face. We do not feel adequate. We don't feel adequate. But Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:5, he answers his own questions. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Amen? It is the Lord Himself who makes you adequate. It's the Lord Himself who equips you to do His work. Our adequacy is from God. He will make you adequate to do His will. He will make you adequate to have the desire of His heart. He will give you the adequacy, the desire to obey Him and what He has called us to do. You will be adequate to do anything God's called. Do you like that? Through His power, through His strength. So don't let Satan tell you you're not adequate to share your Savior. It's the Holy Spirit who speaks through you and primes the pump, plants the seed, or yields the harvest. So take the opportunities He gives you to share Him with a lost and dying world. But as we close today, while our adequacy is from God, you all have a testimony, but you must prepare yourself to be adequate. It takes preparation to be adequate. It takes practice to do anything well. Amen? We know that in the world, right? How many of you know, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a testimony? Even if that's, I was born in a Christian home my whole life, got saved when I was 5. Well, that's a great testimony by the grace of God. You have a testimony. I think some of those are the most gracious, greatest testimonies that exist. We have been preaching and teaching and encouraging and providing when it comes to reaching the lost here at EC Grace. The past year, In these last 4 or 5 years in the ministry, we've been moving in this direction. And Men of Valor and Women of Joy, our men's ministry and women's ministry, started looking at this thing called a 3-minute testimony. And it spurned, as we were talking with Eldon, coming out of Acts chapter 26. Whether if you just read it takes 3 minutes, I don't know how long it took Paul, maybe longer. Maybe it was a longer testimony, and this is all God's recorded. But you can get your testimony done in 3 minutes. Many opportunities will allow you that short spell of time. With that, what better model do we have than Paul's testimony before Agrippa? I want to give you quickly today an outline that you can use to help prepare yourself to engage others, to help to prepare yourself to take the opportunities to engage people with your testimony. Ask yourself, I can remember since a boy and my father as pastor, how many of you remember our Jerusalem? How many of you remember Win One, Reach One? How many of you remember inviting people over for the dinner theme one? How many of you remember Master's Mission? We've been talking about sharing the gospel here, and rightfully so, all churches should, for 50 years. We're not creating anything new. We want to engage people for Christ and take the opportunity. So in your opportunities, everyone, remember this. I want you to remember, I must be intentful. I must be intentful, meaning marked by having an aim or purpose and a plan to fulfill a design. If you wake up every morning praying for God to send you an opportunity, He will do just that. And then with intentfulness, seek to engage that person. So your 3-minute testimony is based from looking at Paul when he came before Agrippa. Now, we had to work on this, didn't we? When we all first started giving our testimonies, I think at one time, man, I went 25 minutes. And I'm like, oh, this is not right. This is not this is not what we're supposed to do. We had to whittle that down. Man after man after man came up. We knew things about man, what they were thinking in kindergarten, and you know where what they did in 7th grade, and what they did when they were in 9th grade. And you know what college they went to, and how they met their wives, and also. I mean, we were going 10, 15 minutes per testimony, and so we got together and we said, we got to whittle this down. Your testimony is to be succinct and to get people to your Savior. All that other stuff's important, and that can come later. Your 3-minute testimony is based from looking at Paul when he came before Agrippa. The goal is to point them to Jesus quickly and not give your autobiography. All right? First, I want you to start out by going up to somebody and ask them a non-threatening question. Hey, what is your experience with church? And just listen. And it does not matter what they say. Hey, what is your experience with Jesus Christ? You will glean a lot of knowledge from that response. And then you can tell them, what can I share with you? Mine. Ask them that non-threatening question. First, I want you to see Paul gave a defense in verse 1 and 2. Think of your testimony this way. You are about to state your case, and your case is truth. Amen. Second, he then made an appeal for Agrippa to listen patiently. Always ask if you can briefly share with them your experience. Remember, they just shared with you theirs. Well, can I tell you my experience with Jesus Christ? And off you run on your 3-minute testimony. Third, what Paul used to be and why, verses 4 through 11. Briefly explain who you used to be. Who you were before you were born again, i.e., I was works-based, I was agnostic, I was an atheist, I was angry, I was a lover of self, I had something missing, on and on it goes. What was it about you? Fourth, what happened to change him? Verses 12 through 14. What was it that started to get you to change? And how did that happen? Who and what was it that changed you? Fifth, what his life became following his conversion, verse 19 through 23. What was it that changed in your life? And how has that continued happening to the present? What did God do in your life the moment he saved you? And how did that take you to that situation with them right there? And sixth, Paul told the truth about Jesus, verse 15 through 23. Finished by giving a brief synopsis of the truth of Jesus and his transforming power in making you a new creation. Eldon, my last testimony, I got down to what? 2 minutes, like 59 seconds. Didn't I? And guess what? That doesn't save anybody. Maybe it will. It gives you the opportunity then to ask an important question we're going to see in a minute. So I'm going to send this out to everyone in an email. So think that you're giving a defense like Paul, appeal for listening, who you used to be, what happened to change you, what your life became after the change, and the truth about Christ. This is what Paul did before Agrippa. Can we do this? We can. Once you're finished giving your testimony, don't be afraid. Ask if you can share with them now how Jesus can truly transform their life. And you can now, if they're willing, share the full gospel. I'm confident people will come to know him as their Savior. Let me close with a few things today. To us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, let's not waste our opportunity to share Christ. Let's be the church on the move, prepared and ready for these opportunities. Let's seize every opportunity. People's lives are at stake, and God's called you. And all of us are more than adequate, for our adequacy is from God. Amen? We can do this. You may not be called to be a massive evangelist or a missionary, but we do have those God's brought into your sphere. Do you love Christ enough to share him? To you who have not yet turned to Jesus for your salvation, I beg you today, don't waste your opportunity to receive him. Today is the day. This morning, come forward. I'll take you aside. I'll show you through God's word how you can know Christ. If you're tuning in today and you want to know more, you can reach out to us. We want to share Jesus with you. If the Spirit is speaking to you now, accept him now. Don't say no. The clock is ticking. Tomorrow may never come. Tomorrow may be too late. I'm not done. My heart is breaking. I want in my own life to share Christ more, and I don't do it nearly as much as I should. I squander opportunities left and right because I'm not recognizing them before me. I praise God that he does give me opportunity, and I do share the gospel, but am I on fire for it like I should? Do I see the reality that Jesus is coming back again, and that could be soon and very soon? Do I love other people like I should be loving them? We are in the Christmas season, and we love the Christmas season, but we have the most precious gift the world has ever received and ever will receive. We have Jesus Christ, and we can share him with others' souls. Let's be that church on a move. I didn't know if I was going to play this morning, but I'm going to play it for you. I told Ross in the back, I gave you the nod. I don't know. It just depends where I'm at. But I want to hear this. This song, I was jamming this song last night. I've been jamming it all week and just cranking it. And I think I might have made one of my speakers crackle for good. I'm going to have a good thing it's warranted. I might have to go get my crackled speaker fixed. Church, listen to this song. Church, you're going to hear in this song. Church, Listen to the song.
Dear church, did you see me? I was the sinner that you walked by on the street. Dear church, remember me, 'cause you have something so beautiful, something that I need. You have something so beautiful, I wish you would've told me. So come on and tell somebody about Jesus and all the great things he has done. Where would I be if he had not rescued me? Come on and tell somebody. Come on and tell somebody. Tell somebody. Oh, tell somebody.
Come on, church. Say amen. God has been faithful from beginning to the end.
Brother, would you help me? Sister, would you help
me?
While
the world is dying and there is a cure, there's a hope that's deep within us. One thing I know for sure.
Tell somebody. Are you going to do it? What's inside of us? We have so much to share, thanking him what he's done. Hey, church, will you tell me? Hey, church, will you tell me? We have so much to share. We have Jesus Christ has been born. Unto us this day a Savior has been given. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I hope and pray that as we are going to be done with Acts for a few weeks, that we can see, aren't you thankful you're not Festus? Aren't you thankful you're not Felix? Aren't you thankful you're not Agrippa or Drusilla? Aren't you thankful that you are the one that Jesus opened up your hearts to receive him as your Lord and Savior? Stand up and let's get a shout out of amen, right? Amen. So, hey, Christmas time, we're going to go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain wherever that mountain is for you, it may be across the street. It may be in your workplace. It may be your mother, your father. It may be your brother or sister. It may be a co-worker. It may be a stranger you've never met. Are you going to go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born? Let's do it.